We put aside a few of these minor details. We have something that might be of interest to you. We have some material, material concerning Scientology, which is the difference between a workable process and an unworkable process. This material is just a little bit technical. I hope those of you who are not fully acquainted with earlier material in Scientology won't find this too abstruse. We will start in by saying at once that life is a game. What is life? Life is a game. Yes, I know, but what are people doing? They're playing a game. Well, yeah, but what kind of games are they playing? Well, they're playing games they know they're playing, games they don't know they're playing. Well, there must be more to life than that. Yes, there is. There's no games. Well, you mean to tell me that there's only one item? Then, do you really concerned with games? That's impossible. Because there wouldn't be just one thing going on. Well, it isn't just one thing. All life and its various involvements is involved in games. That's all there is to it. It works out that way, it processes that way, and the whole problem and difficulty solves that way. Do you see this? No matter what, and no matter how, we try to analyze and reanalyze existence, there doesn't seem to be any method at this time which is better than calling it a game. A game has many factors, and these factors are all very nicely answered. So that we have four types of games, that is, four game conditions, you might say. There is a game condition, knowing. A man knows he is playing a game, and therefore he is living. A man thinks he is playing a game of living, but is actually playing five or six other games he doesn't know he's playing. Well, that's an aberrated condition. What is the aberration? The aberration is totally concerned with the unknowing game condition in which he's involved. If he doesn't know he's playing these games, why then they are aberrative to him. Well, how about no game conditions? Well, actually, no game conditions are quite interesting, since they are the stuff of which Thetan is made. For many millennia, man, able to write, has sought for truth. Able to write, able to talk, able to think, observe. He sought for truth. Scientology might have been called at one time or another just another search for truth. It's a hideous thing to realize that man's search for truth was bound to failure. It could not have been possible for a man to have discovered truth since the totality of the barriers which lie between him and truth consist of games, lies, difficulties, and unless he goes in a game condition, unless he goes into a condition of non-factuality, he never arrives in a condition of truth. It was almost more likely that some gambler, some drunken gambler on a Mississippi River steamboat would have discovered more about living than a swami sitting on the highest mountain in the Himalayas. It was almost certain that such a condition would have benefited in its chances the gambler. Why? The gambler's in a game condition, not because he plays games with cards, because he's living. He is in contact with life. He is living life, and therefore he has to estimate the elements of life. And estimating the elements of life, he is then and there capable of coming up with some truth. The road to truth for a man who has been living lies through lies. By examining and processing the lies that are told, he achieves truth. If he tries to achieve truth directly, he perishes on the road. And thus we have had a narrow squeak. We were seeking for truth. And if these factors had not been discovered, it is very, very likely that our search would have dead-ended. Since a man cannot handle truth alone and come up with answers to anything. This is the most hideous little booby trap that was ever rigged. Life is a game. You have to address the games the man is playing and has played in order to restore him to a condition where he is able to sit serenely or play a game at will. The road out led through the path of lies. Pilgrim's Progress is a terribly interesting thing. I've run it out of enough pre-clears. But they talk about the primrose path. And it goes this way and that way and winds up in this is and that is. And it's pretty tough, you know. It's a pretty tough path. So what you want to do is stay on that straight and narrow path, brother. That straight and narrow path, it just goes on and on and on and it fades into the far distance, straight and narrow. And that would be a method of dying slowly by inches or millennia. The primrose path that you were supposed to avoid is the trouble with truth. This is for sure. One goes through the dark and thorny ground and over and under and around and above and below, and he says, sooner or later, I'll come out on the high road. Well, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing. He does. Providing he's willing to walk the primrose path. But if all he's interested in is just walking down that straight, narrow road, I wouldn't give you that for his chances of survival, for his ability, or for anything else. In other words, the road to truth detoured through games, through aberrative conditions, through stress and strife. Games is the common denominator of it. And those games contain freedom, barriers, and purposes. And the road back is the same road. And to sit with a nice turban on and contemplate your navel, or whatever they do, in the upper snowy regions of India, pronounced India, might benefit other people whom you would not trouble. But it's not likely to do anything for you. Life comes apart at the seams and is understood and restores itself to any condition you care to have only so long as it follows through games. You haven't got much choice about it. We would love to say to somebody, be 3 feet back your head, you're clear. I hate to confess to you, but there were numbers of processes that we had that violated these conditions. They were no game conditions. We didn't have the information, so we can't say that we were right or wrong, but there were a number of them that violated these principles I'm talking to you about. In other words, a process which was a game condition process, a process straight at games, was workable. I don't care when that was. But a process which was not a games condition process, which was a no game condition process, just dead ended thud. Now, where you have a great deal of difficulty, where you have a great deal of difficulty with a case, where somebody's being aberrated, where somebody's doing something that is incomprehensible to you and the rest of the world and is damaging to those around him, it all seems to sum down to just this alone, and this is the one thing it summates to. He is in this sort of a condition. He's played a game. He was hurt while playing that game. The game itself is now a sort of an engram. He doesn't even know he's playing it, and he is still playing that game. The game itself is actually a no-game condition because it's lost and gone and back on the track, but it was a game. There was some sort of a game that he was playing at some time or another. Now he's forgotten he was playing that game, and there he goes. You take an old football player. Take an old football player. All right, he doesn't play football anymore. To some slight degree, he still plays football. But that's not aberrative. His football was not aberrative. He could have been chewed up and walked over with, however they do it at Notre Dame, with their cleats on guys' faces and chests. He could have just been stamped on. He could have lost his girl because he played football. He could have had his career ruined. Just pile this up. You say, well, obviously, what's wrong with this man is he was playing football and he no longer has a game. So, boy, that would be about the shallowest look at it you ever saw. Why? He knows he was once a football player. So at once it takes it out of the aberrative category. Yes, he is suffering to some degree from a game condition, but that is not what is wrong with the case. The unknown game's condition, the game's condition he does not know about, is the condition from which he is suffering. All aberration must contain the element of unknowingness. When it becomes known fully, it will no longer be aberrative, which makes people ransack their past. But there are many ways to make these things become known. Very, very many ways to make these things become known. We have processes today that do it much more rapidly than preclear's like. The force and velocity of processes is of great interest to us. Today, because their force and velocity and effectiveness depends entirely upon the rock foundation of games condition and no games condition. This isn't just something that I thought of. This is something that was gradually being borne in upon me, that there was a category here that was one thing and a category that was another thing, and these things didn't agree with each other. And there was something wrong here. I tried in vain, really, to discover fully why some processes worked and some didn't work. Some were limited processes. That is to say, they'd only process, but maybe even very effectively, for two or three auditing commands, or 2 or 3 hours, or in the case of running engrams, probably maximally about 500 hours. Those processes were all limited. They dead-ended somewhere. Why did they dead-end? And what were these other processes which were, you might call, unlimited processes? Well, there were elements here for which there was no accounting. Now, I'll give you an example. We have a fellow who's having trouble with the fact that his mother has been rather mean to him. So we say something on the order of this. We say, look around the room and tell me something your mother can have. Now, we can say, look around the room and tell me something you can have, and the fellow gets well. We tell him, look around the room and tell me something your mother can have, and he gets sick. What is going on here? It's practically the same auditing command. Well, you say his self-determinism, or his basic greed, or this and that. Something else was being violated here. Yes, something else was being violated, but I'm afraid it was nothing that you could brush off with a word like greed. There was something going on. Some great difficulty, probably sufficiently complex as to make it escape attention entirely. Why wouldn't the auditing command run on mother as well as the preclear? It just wouldn't, though. Well, we say, this is very easy. This is easy. Look around the room and tell me something your body can have, undoubtedly with work, because most preclears are their body. So we tell him, look around the room and tell me something that you could have. It's just a process. Look around the room and tell me something your body could have. We already know you could have works, makes him feel better. Why not body? Look around the room and tell me something your body could have does not work. He runs it an hour or so and he's got a headache. Why? Now that is the goofiest little puzzle that I ever got mixed up with. I won't give you a blow-by-blow account of the of the oddities and peculiarities which were fought through, and the number of staff auditors which all but blew their brains out auditing little slips of paper which would be passed to them on pre-clears, you know. They'd audit something on a pre-clear, and they'd say, well, Ron said this was a good process, so go ahead, and all of a sudden the pre-clear goes. They say so, and Ron checks off another one. Some long time ago, I made up a list of about 500 different reasons why. They were the reasons why life was living. What was it living about or for? There were 500 possible motives, more or less. Life was being lived on the basis that one, I'll give you sort of an idea, what is the motive of life? So that one could love one's neighbor. That's one. You audit this on a person, they go, boom. All right, so we had all these various types of things. You see, philosophers from the beginning of time, practically, have been saying why it's all whyness. And Skipskop Schopenhauer, a German, that had more bad temper than good grammar. Schopenhauer does write impeccably good grammar. The only trouble is you can't understand it even in German. A sample of Schopenhauerian wit is stubbornness is the state of the will taking the place of the intellect. It's nicely involved, isn't it? Doesn't go anyplace. Well, anyway, he said that life was living in order to die. Also, I put that down on the list, too, you know. Life was living in order to die. All this sort of thing about death wish. The only thing you could really do about life was really get even with it and just kill everything. Well, such things as this, scraps and bits and pieces from the Greek, the German, from the various barbaric philosophies and so on that one runs across. Put all these things down. And almost accidentally, along about 205, I remember that people used to say all the time that writing was a game and business was a game, this is a game. So I put down, life's a game. And went on, you know, happily on down the rest of the list. Putting down very deep philosophic things, you see, that had good substance and solidity and had been respected for generations. Then I went back and started this. Tested this one. It's pre-computation. All possible types of reasons why. I got down and almost about 150 down the line, I found games again before I came across it on the list. Can have on self works. Can't have on body does work. You see, can have on body doesn't work. Can have on mother does. Why? Because everybody alive is engaged with playing a game and is capable, particularly as he falls down through the dynamics, of taking on any item as an opponent. And he is very, very scarce on opponents. And to let your opponent have something is defeat. And this works out so fantastically. You just put a free clear in the chair and you smile like a crocodile, you know, on the Nile. And you say to him very, very cheerfully and very happily, you say, all right, now, look around the room and find something that your mother can have. Just keep it up. Obviously, it's a generous, good, self-sacrificing impulse that no child should be without. And your pre-clear goes, duh, 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 and finally says, you know, something's wrong with my head. And you say, well, that's all right. Just look around the room and tell me something else that mother could have. And he eventually just sort of drops out the bottom and you're sweeping over to one side and make another experiment. Anyhow. What on earth, though, if this were game condition, then there would be only one command that would run about mother as far as Haddingness is concerned. We'll take up Haddingness a little while. I just give you a fast pass at it. You know that yesterday I told you about solids right below effort? Well, that's Haddingness. Anyhow, tolerance of solids is first approached by this process called what can he have? Now, we take this next person and we process this ungenerous, mean, vicious thing that nobody would subscribe to, particularly parents. And we start running this fellow on. Now, look around the room and tell me something your mother can't have. But she can't have. She can have everything. No. And it just runs by the hour, and he gets better, and he gets better, and he gets better and better. But it sounds so outrageous that only somebody as monomanic as myself on finding the end of track on Scientology would ever have let it be run that many hours. Because obviously it's not right. It isn't. Goes against the Ten Commandments. The Bureau of Ordnance. Even goes against the apparency of the case that every time you really ask that, what could your mother have? You walk up to somebody on the street and say, what could your mother have? He'd say, oh, I would buy her the world if I could. See, people don't even cognite on this one. Now, another funny thing, if you ask an individual what a jail could have, ask him, what can a jail have? Did you ever run into anything quite so greedy? And a preacher will tell you at once, a jail can have anything. Everything. You, him, us, we, everybody. Yes. And have that pillar and that clock and that ceiling and the roof and so forth. He can't find enough things that a jail can have. And we say, now look here. We obviously had an aberration there. And it was that the jail could have things, and if we simply fill up the jail vacuum, see the reasoning that is all wrong? If we just fill up the jail vacuum, he'll get over being afraid of jails. Ah, another phenomenon occurs that escaped all of us. And I'll show you what was fouling up our research from beginning to end, as well as games. Did you ever hear of the small matter of a below zero tone scale? Did you ever hear that? Boy, I tell you, I looked back at myself with absolute awe here the other day. I said, you know, that's 3 years old. I said, gee. Boy, I said, are you right? Think of that. 3 years ago, you wrote this thing. And I said, you dumb blank. Why didn't you ever use it? That's the question. Why didn't we ever really use it? We had it right there. We've had it for years. And it tells us something that we even knew in 1950. We used to say, you know, arthritis, you can always process the fellow into apathy, so he loses arthritis. You know, we know that. Well, what's this below zero thing? Preclears on at least one or more items are below apathy and have to be processed like mad before they ever get into apathy. And the processes which were being functional were bringing preclears up to apathy, and I thought it was driving them down to apathy. I'm afraid that my first reaction of, gee, Ronnie, you're smart, has never been able to counteract the feeling of stupidness which I've had since. I'll give you the pat example that sets it. How could anyone guess that on one or more subjects, anybody would be so far below apathy that he didn't even know he was in trouble? And he could process in that band and evidently feel all right and feel better about it, never get over it. Most fabulous thing you ever saw. And that some cases across the boards were below apathy, body plus Satan. The body would have had to have gotten well to die. Now up here we have our tone scale, just as I was showing you yesterday. It contains no, not no, on down the line, perceive, emote, all the various categories of emotions in the graphic line, and then effort, and then solids, and then think, and then on down through symbols, eat, sex, and mystery. Well, we could get all the way down there. Where are these things called think and mystery? Where are these things? Well, I'm afraid that they're down here at 0.0, and that's mystery. And then we go south. The pre-clears problem is clear down there. So far below zero. It's in a band where he cannot think about it particularly, but he can't think about it, but it doesn't worry him, but there's no emotional content to it, but it's all right, he doesn't care, it doesn't make any difference to him, it isn't worrying him a bit. And you process him on it for about 3 hours, he all of a sudden says, I feel like I'm dying. You say, obviously under old research, we would have said, you know, this process isn't working. This process isn't working because he's getting worse. And that was not right, because we processed him another 3 hours on the same problem, and he came right up tone scale. He got to a point where he could be apathetic about his problem. And from being apathetic, he could move up and he'd cry about it, and he'd be afraid of it, and he'd be angry about it, and antagonistic, and bored, and then he'd be enthusiastic about having such a lovely problem. We used to think, you see, that your preclear went downscale when we processed the wrong process on him, because he would start to feel something. We'd run a process for a little while, and he'd feel bad. And we'd say, well, that's not a good process. It doesn't make the preclear any better at all. And this was the observational factor which was messing up our test processes. It's unthinkable that somebody could be processed for a couple, 3 hours on a very heavy, biting process with no reaction at all before they reached apathy. But having reached apathy, be processed 2 or 3 more hours, upscale gradually until they're over the hump on the problem and feel very, very good about the whole thing. In other words, the processes that were really good processes were then disguised and hidden under the fact that when they were used on the difficulties the case was really having, when they were used for a little while, the case felt worse. I'll give you one. Let's take separateness. Do you know that separateness runs easily, runs well? People feel better with it. You don't even run into adding this problem, particularly if you're a very gentle auditor. You say, look around the room and find something you wouldn't mind being separate from. And he gets feeling a little bit better and so forth, and it just processes on and on and on and on. And then all of a sudden he gets jittery. He gets, say, it's loss of having or something. But he is incapable, usually, on such a line, of expressing any emotion for the excellent reason that he is below the tone in which he can feel. He can't feel, emote, or react. He's below that tone in which he can actually experience. That's a fantastic thing. So we run the other one. Now, the reason why this is important is we made a basic test, and this was the deciding test as to whether or not a thetan was going into things or coming out. And the test went this way. Look around and find something you wouldn't mind being connected with. And that run for about 20 minutes. Practically plows a guy in. He starts feeling bad. He doesn't want to have all these things happening to him. He gets upset. He feels miserable. So we said his ambition is to be separate. Separateness is the truth. Connectedness is the lie. And you have to process the lie in order to reach the truth. And if you process connectedness, he gets to feeling worse and worse and worse and worse. And we always thought feeling worse was going downscale. In this case, it's going upscale. And he keeps feeling worse and worse and finally gets to be apathetic. We ran a pre-clear who had no results on his case at all for about 2 or 3 years. He'd not been audited by anybody very significant. They probably would have done something to him. But he had never seen an engram, never done this, done that. And he finally was running a problem, and the problem came up to apathy. And he says, I'm bored with it. And the next day came back to the auditor and said, you know, I've made a fantastic discovery. You know that apathy and boredom are different. And he says, I wasn't being bored, I was being apathetic about it, and that's what I've always mistaken for boredom. Now there was a case that was functioning, evidently doing all right, and so on. But we had to know the game's condition of it, even to process that much. We had to know that. Connectedness. People are always getting into games. A game condition is to get into it. So you process, get into it. A no game condition is get out of it. So we don't process, get out of it. The only way he could get out of his old unknowing game condition would be for you as an auditor to shove him into it. And there's where we get the way out is the way through. And that has always been true. So this thing untangles, starts to make very, very interesting sense, and it becomes remarkably easy. Now, quite by accident, we had the exactly correct game condition formula a long time ago when we had our first rudimentary communication formula. It says cause, distance, effect. Cause, distance, effect, with a pre-clear cause, and that is the way you have to process. You have to get the pre-clear to do it, and the pre-clear to create an effect, and that is the proper formula, cause, distance, effect. With the pre-clear and effect, a process that's supposed to put him at effect is a process which will spin the pre-clear in, because it's a no-game condition. Did you ever see a dead man playing a game? Well, death's a no-game condition. Follow me? Now, here in this Scientology, the Fundamentals of Thought, in the printed edition, which was the translated edition, we have in here at the back a partial list of game conditions. And these game conditions are, and I'll read them very rapidly, attention. Now, part of attention is interest. Attention is a heavy button. Interest is a light button. These are all parts of games. You see, games are basically freedom, barriers, and purposes. That's basically a game. But none of those things process, which was what was remarkable to make this discovery of games. And at first, by the way, in research, this would have knocked your brains out if you'd been doing it. It was horrible. That although I knew it was game's conditions, none of the elements I could isolate as a game's condition worked on a preclear. Games consist of freedom, purposes, and barriers. Now, you tell a preclear to mark up a wall so that you can't go through it. All right, that's fine. Mark up a wall so that you can't go through it. You know it's not a good process? Figure out some way to restrict somebody else's freedom. It's not a good process. Invent some purposes for life. It's not a good process. And so if a game was what life was doing, why didn't its three basic elements process? Well, that's because Satan is a tricky little fellow. He's tricky. He's much worse than that. He's devious. He only plays games that have specialized conditions. He's a snob. And you get these games conditions then, arduously arrived at by just trial and error, because once we had games condition, that wasn't enough, because freedom's purposes and barriers wasn't, it describes a game perfectly, and you can write things and talk to people and they'll agree with you, but they don't process. So the games had to be all broken to pieces, just broken flat down in two pieces in order to make the full conditions, all of the conditions, valid. The word valid, processing conditions. And by golly, here was another list of about 1,000 possible game conditions. And out of these, only these seem to work in processing. There are undoubtedly some others. I'm sure of it. But in a couple of months, I haven't been able to find any. I'm sure there are some others. And these are the processable buttons, game conditions, attention, identity, effect on opponents, no effect on self, can't have on opponents and goals in their areas, have on tools of play, own goals and field, purpose, problems of play, self-determinism, opponents, the possibility of loss, the possibility of winning, communication, and a no communication factor, non-arrival, and we will add to this, control. You can just add that into your notes. Control. Start, change, stop. And it was actually control, which has to be added to that list, that was the most significant of these buttons. But regardless of all that, what on earth were we doing fooling around with somebody who had to do something or be processed in a direction which was something more than desperate? You have to process him in the direction of how would you kill everybody? How would you stop everything from going? How would you knock off your mother? How would you cut your own throat? In order to get any recovery, because his former action on these things so badly violated truth that he himself was unable to return the truth thereafter. You see that? By entering an untruthful circumstance to the degree that your preclear has entered it on life's track, his recovery of truth lies through the eradication of the untruthful condition. Now we get no game conditions, and we get knowing all. Being able to not know everything. Serenity. These are no game conditions. I said it about, I think it was the 8th ACC, Phoenix. That's the last one. You know, it's a funny thing, but everything that seems to be wrong with a Thetan is evidently some lower harmonic on what he is. Odd fact. Thetan is motionless, and dead bodies are motionless, and therefore a dead body is a harmonic on a Thetan. You see? And that's true, too. Listen to this list. These don't process. You just don't dare pay any attention to these at all. These take place if you process James' conditions. Serenity, namelessness, having no identity at all, doesn't process. No effect on opponent, effect on self or team, have everything, can't have nothing, solutions. If you ask a guy for a solution, solution and solution and solution and solution, little mistake that was made on a release one time, he just spins right in. You have to ask him for a problem and don't let him solve it, and a problem and don't let him solve it, and a problem, don't let him solve that one. And all of a sudden he says, you know, I can have a problem. I don't have to solve it. Now we get this thing called pan-determinism. Doesn't process. Self-determinism process. How could you be more of an individual than you are? That process is like that. Invent some additional names for yourself. That processes. Invent some more names for yourself. Invent some more faces you could wear. But pan-determinism of being able to run both sides of it doesn't work. Friendship for everybody doesn't work. Understanding everything and everybody doesn't work. Total communication, being in communication with everything. No communication whatsoever, being in communication with nothing. Win and lose are no game conditions. The dirtiest thing you can do to some athlete. He's been in there fighting, you know, and he's getting all set, and he wins the championship. And they put him up, or whatever they do to him, and hang him up with belts and give him a cup and so forth. And there he stands. You come along and process him. There he stands. But the funny part of it is, you can't process it. It's a win or a lose. He got knocked flat, he lost the championship, never boxed thereafter. There he lies on the canvas. You say, obviously, that is the engram to run on the case. Obviously, now, boy, you sure better leave that alone. Leave a win or a lose alone. Having no universe whatsoever, having no playing field, arriving anywhere and dying. These are all no game conditions. Now, that's a fabulous state of affairs, isn't it? Those are all the things where the Thetan should arrive. They're the things the Thetan should be. An able man should be able to have and assume those things. Those are the truths of life. These are the precious jewels of life. And you try to process them directly and he flips his lid. And hence the enigma. Now we're not talking about the enigma of Scientology. We're talking about the enigma of about 50,000 years of figure on this same subject. Why didn't anybody crack it? That was because this. Obviously, if a person was in good shape, he'd know an awful lot. Obviously, if he's in good shape, he'd be able to forget or not know anything, obviously. He'd be serene. He wouldn't have to have a name or fame or identity. He'd have to be willing to have no effect on anybody. Let them do as they please. God bless you, my son. Go and sin some more. It should be possible for him to have everything there is. He should be pan-determined about everything. He should be able to solve things. Obviously, these things should be able to take place. He should be able to be anybody's friend. He should be able to understand anything. He should be able to communicate or not communicate. He should be able to take wins and loses. He should be able to have no universe or universe. He should be able to have a playing field or no playing field. He certainly ought to be able to arrive. And he ought to be able to die comfortably. After all, it's pretty things, these funerals. Although Scientologists, I notice, are getting more and more perfunctory. They say, my mother died this afternoon. Would you like to come down to the funeral? Well, I know you're busy. Then they say, that's beside the point. And then they tell you how she's got some mock-up picked out in Portugal. That's right. I mean, it's real wild. They tell you some mock-up, they got the baby being born in Portugal tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, so she died this afternoon. You hear these wild things. I'm not responsible. I mean, people just come around and tell you, and they happen to be true. I'm not trying to put anything off on you. Now, if you can't process any of these truths, then how could you ever attain them? Since they are desirable. Because unless you can have some part of those truths, you can't enter games knowingly, willingly, or play them well. Now, you take somebody who is really in a good, high level of truth, in a no-game condition, if he's in a good level of truth, he should be able to turn around and play almost any game that he ever confronted. Any game, he may want to be able to think one up, play one, have a good time, enjoy it, and knock it off when he wanted to knock it off. He should be able to do this. Very interesting, isn't it? That by processing him straight at that condition of a no-game condition, he never arrives. You have to run out, you might say, the old games. You have to run him through games conditions. All right, now let's figure out a way where you could be a lying, thieving cheat. It's good. Oh, invent a better lying, thieving cheat. Mock up an identity for yourself which would actually cope with it. Oh, get stronger, get bigger. Now, how could you get to be taller than that? Invent a way to use more strength on your wife. you see the type of process that you run. Well, now, it's very odd that he runs this stuff, he gets straightened out, and all of a sudden... That's a funny thing. I feel much better. We've been doing all this, and all of a sudden I feel... By the way, I was going to go into business a couple of years ago, and I just never got up to do it. I think I'll do it now, and I don't think I'd finish the intensive, because I have an appointment with a fellow who was going to finance me, and swish! It's awfully hard to hold on to preclears. I've told you this before, that they get into action. Now, why did they get into action? They come up so high, and they're able to enter the game of life again, and you don't get a chance, really, to process them all the way to zenith. Unless you have an agreement that you were going to continue the intensive until you say, quit. Now, what is wrong with a man? He's been playing a game. What's right with him that he can recover? All games are aberrative. You play a game of marriage. You go out, you find a man, you tell him a whole bunch of stuff. You get married. You have a bad time. You fight, you separate, you come back together. You go out of the game of marriage. And you patch it all up, and that's good. It works out or doesn't work out, and so on. Somebody comes along and he wants to process out your marriage so you feel better. Your remark would simply be, you know, I know I've been married. Well, the actual fact is it couldn't possibly be aberrative. If you know you've done it, if you know you've been married, if you know you played football, nothing can ensue. But when you come along and play football for years, and then all of a sudden switch your identity and say, I've never played football in my life, and you yourself don't remember ever having played football, and so on, boy, are you in for it. That's a tough one. So as hard as it is for people to take, I hate to mention this thing called past lives, they've been outlawed. In the minute books of the Hubbard Dianetic Research Foundation, Elizabeth, New Jersey, you will see a motion discussed there to just make Ron shut up on this subject because it's unpopular. Well, look, if it's so unpopular, somebody must have some kind of a resistance to it of some kind or another. I don't think anything aberrative happened to you during your whole current lifetime. Mother beat you, fed you through a sausage grinder, your father was mean to you, or dropped on your head when you were one. You had 15 AAs, and you were foiled in oil, and You were captured by the Japanese and shot regularly every morning. So what? You know all about it. You can sit there. Now, the auditor sits there, and he says to him briefly, he says, well, now let's see. What's happened to you? That's... Why should we ask such a question? If he knew, it wouldn't be wrong. You get the colossal joke about the whole thing? If he knew, it wouldn't be wrong. And the funniest thing happens to a case when he's processed these days. He starts arguing with the auditor. They always do. They say, but there's nothing on this. There's nothing on the subject of books. You know, he's going, duh, some kind of thing. There's nothing on books. I've never had any difficulty with books. I've never been hit with a book. I, as a matter of fact, don't even read when I'm sick. And the auditor, somehow or another, by making him spot objects, has all of a sudden found that he couldn't spot a book. He said something outrageous like, well, I don't spot books because they're angry at me, or something like that, and just passed it along, you know, perfectly normal. The auditor says, well, all right, let's spot that book over there. Well, there's nothing wrong with books. What's the matter with you? You're nuts. He'll say, I know what's wrong with me. It was my mother. That's what was wrong with me. And the fact that I was in boarding school and every day, why, there were three older boys who beat me, that's what's wrong with me. And so and that's what you're supposed to be auditing. You say, spot another book. But there's nothing wrong with books. I don't see what you're talking about. It is not making sense. You're not a good auditor. They told me you were a good auditor, but I don't believe it. And all of a sudden, my books start looking so funny to him. They start leaping up in the air, doing peculiar things. Figures start walking out of them. I mean, with his naked eyes. Books lying on the table, and a figure suddenly walks out of it and says, you jerk. He's liable to tell the auditor, well, I've had it now. I didn't know I could ever have a delusion. The next thing you know, I say, good golly. You know, I believe I've had some connection or another with a publishing firm somewhere. But I don't know what that's all about. Oh, you've gone about 20 past lives back when he was the, you understand, it had to be a game's condition. He was cause. We're not looking for the victim now. You can tell your preachers we are if you want to, but don't process them in that direction. We're not looking for victims. We're looking for villains. And we find out that during the Spanish Inquisition, he had sole charge of burning all heretical books and heretical authors. And then what really loused it up in the next life, he was an heretic. And that's just the way it goes. It really isn't the old overt-act motivator phenomenon. This is a later sequence. Now, you understand, way up high here are these games conditions and no games conditions. That's a very high theory. Proceeding from those are all sorts of theories and phenomena that we've been studying, thousands of them. The overt act motivator sequence, that is explained by game phenomena, but it isn't at the same level. It's actually a new and different phenomena. It is a planned or agreed upon phenomena which can bite only because a games condition has existed. Now, we've studied the ways and means of effort on how people resist being shot. And we run effort processing one way or the other to get them unshot. Well, it has some workability. But the funny part of it is what are they doing getting shot? Now, what explains that? Why can they get shot? You understand? It's a silly question for anybody to ask, but how is it that you could walk out and get in front of a bullet which would enter your body and shoot you? Boy, that takes some doing. You figure that out. It takes some doing. What are you doing in a position where this can happen? How did you get there? Well, you say, well, I was mean to bodies and finally they all fell in on me. Well, this is over an act motivator sequence. It's a very low reason. No, there was a game sometime or another way back on the track. It sort of ran like this. You saw a body walking along and you said, isn't that cute? Very interesting. Walking around and so on. Well, what do you know? What do you know? And then you said, decided it liable to fall over something. So you tried to get it to work in another direction, and it didn't obey you worth a nickel. You said, walk to the right. You know, better move over that way. And it didn't. And you said, well, the disobedient little something or other. That was the end of that body. You forgot all about that. Time went on. You had did a lot of other things, and there was another body one day, and you saw that body. And you killed that one for some reason or another. And then you get way down the time track someplace, and there's a body walking along, and feel a little suspicious of this body somehow or another. And you reach over to feel of its head or something with a beam, and in you go. And you say, now look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. I touched a body and it pulled me in. Bodies are vacuums. I am a victim. How did you get into a position to be a victim? And that is what you audit out of the pre-clip. Just how did you make it possible for you to be a victim? Since being a victim is one of the doggondest positions for a Thetan to get into. It is almost impossible for a Thetan, which has no mass, no motion, so on, to be a victim. You see, with what pride an individual would display the fact that he was stuck in a paraplegic body. See? Proud. Look at how much of a victim I got to be. And somebody else's sympathy is really probably more or less awe. Boy. And that's kind of the way it is. And then you come along and you audit out as being a victim. Won't work? Doesn't work. He doesn't know how he got to be a victim. He really is a victim. He's upset about life. He can't cope with it. It's out for bondage control. But you come along as an auditor, you have to find the game he was playing wherein he was caused, which precedes all these other games where he got adroit enough to be a victim. You follow me? Well, there we had this weird, weird riddle of life. A Thetan was truth. A spirit was totally capable. And it fell from grace. And it doesn't regrace itself until you run out the fell from grace. By giving him enough falls from grace to make it worth his while. You have to increase the number of falls from grace on the track before he'll unfall. That's an interesting thing. So to say offhand that an individual must get in and must play vigorously and must play life desperately is not true. That's not true. To say that because a man plays life desperately, he suffers from it isn't true either. To say he must be calm isn't true. To say he must be active isn't true. What is true? That if you've played a game, admit it. Well, I had a little something to tell you there about game conditions, and I hope they've made a little sense to you. There's much more material on this, and some of these processes that stem from this are too violent to audit unless you have a perfect and thorough command of modern procedure. It's for true. I mean, a pre-clear just doesn't stay under control. They just go and blow neurons all over the ceiling, so to speak. But there are processes along this level, which are very auditable. It tells an auditor at once what he can audit and what he had better not. And it tells us also, more important to us, how man got into this mess and gives us ways and means to get him out of it.